Welcome back to our innovation series. I'm here speaking with Erin Ziak, a teacher at St. Thomas Aquinas School in Cleveland, who's going to talk to us about her classroom approach and specifically her experience with Teach Like a Champion. Erin, welcome to our innovation series. And please tell us about yourself and how you come to this ministry of education at St. Thomas Aquinas.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Well, I'm Erin Ziak, and this is my fifth year at St. Thomas Aquinas School in Cleveland. I came into St. Thomas our very first year as a partnership school, and I found out about this job from a friend of a friend, and I've been here ever since.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad that you are there, and I want our audience to hear more about what you're doing in the classroom, some really exceptional work that's really changing the lives of children who are learning from you and your colleagues there at St. Thomas Aquinas. So tell us about Teach Like a Champion. What is the Teach Like a Champion framework and approach? How were you first introduced to it, and what aspects of it really resonated most with you as a Catholic school teacher?
The Teach Like a Champion framework follows expert teachers and what exactly they did in their classrooms. Doug Lamov and the people at Teach Like a Champion went into these classrooms and started taking notes on what strategies they were using. And they put it all in a book, and we are very lucky here at St. Thomas and in the partnership schools to be able to utilize these strategies and skills, as well as utilize their Reading Reconsidered curriculum in the middle school ELA world. And our curriculum focuses on building skills through novel study, using nonfiction text, vocabulary, writing, reading, analysis. And our trainings really focus on a very big community aspect of working together and collaborating with others in our content area, other teachers within our community, within our partnership, and really collaborating and building each other up to become those expert teachers that Doug Lamov and the our friends at TLAC have studied throughout the years.
Thank you. Yes, yeah. I love this notion that we're building on the best practices from expert teachers from all around. Maybe you could give us some examples. Like, do you have any particular favorite techniques of yours that you've learned through Teach Like a Champion or TLAC?
I would say that some of my favorites involve, there's this one strategy that I use almost every single day in my classroom. It was first coined as control the game, and now it's been moved into something called phase reading. And it's one of my favorite parts of teaching is every single student gets a chance to read aloud, and I'm proud, as I like to say, the novel that we are reading. And it's different than popcorn reading. It's different than just calling the kids out to read aloud. The teacher very strategically knows, okay, which students can read more, which students can read less, which parts should the teacher read to build upon understanding. With teaching and learning being such a collaborative practice, that specific strategy has been one of my all-time favorites and something that I use every single time.
And I've noticed they all have some names, like you described. They have, you know, some way to categorize the type of technique it is. It strikes me that a lot of what this is really best practices. It's good teaching. I expect you're probably a pretty good teacher before. What makes this different now when you're implementing this in your classroom using this framework?
So I think that it provides a common language to best practices that we know and use daily. So throughout the framework, you'll see strategies like silent solo or turn and talk. And I know that for years we've used like think, pair, share. And this puts a common language to different strategies. So I know I can walk into my colleague's classroom and I will hear that language of we are moving into a silent solo. And it helps provide, again, that community aspect of we are all working within the same framework. And we are all together in this one moment.
Thank you. That's probably helpful in the direction overall as a school when you're working on school level goals or school level instructional techniques. So you started at the school when partnership schools was new. This whole approach then was new to St. Thomas Aquinas. What sort of challenges did you encounter when you were implementing TLAC techniques in your classroom, and how did you overcome them?
I think that when I first approached the TLAC framework and the TLAC techniques, it felt not foreign, but when you are a middle school teacher, you have like the TLAC curriculum that includes all of these phrases that and techniques that we implement. And it could be a very overwhelming to see, okay, I'm supposed to use a turn and talk here, but does it make sense here for my kids? And I would say like the biggest challenge was just overcoming the initial like rollout of these techniques, especially when we are starting these techniques for the very first time as a school and the kids don't have that common language yet. Now, 5 years later, they know what a sounding solo is. They know what a turn and talk is, and they already have an expectation for what these strategies, they have an expectation of what they should be doing during these strategies that they didn't have when I first started as a first year teacher.
Yes, it takes time to build that culture, and it's great to see the results are happening after many years of implementation. Can you tell us about a specific experience, maybe a classroom experience, where your use of what you learned from TLAC significantly improves student engagement or learning, however you measure the outcomes?
So every single year in seventh grade, we read A Raisin in the Sun. It is the first play that we read in the middle school curriculum. And every single year, without fail, I have reluctant readers like begging to read aloud, because this is the first opportunity I really give students to say if they want to read out loud. Because it is a play, every single day we have characters and they get to choose what character they want to be. And so they kind of take that control the game or phase reading that we do every single day and apply it to this new book where they now get a choice. And every single year, it is the most incredible thing I see, having reluctant readers raise their hand and, like I said, beg essentially to want to be Mama or want to be Walter, and just building such a strong understanding of not only what's going on in the book, but then they're so interested in those characters that when we talk about the history aspect of A Raisin in the Sun, so the Great Migration and Chicago's Black Belt and racially restrictive covenants, when we start talking about the history of it, they become even more engaged. Just building these routines since day one has really, really sets us up for such beautiful moments as they're in seventh and eighth grade.
Thank you. And I think when we hear teaching and learning, like teach like a champion, there's a tendency, these are instructional techniques, there's a tendency to focus on the academics, but also I know, especially with partnership schools, school culture has been an important emphasis in the school. Are there ways that the TLAC techniques have helped you with your school culture in the classroom or managing student behavior in a consistently, you know, loving Catholic environment in the classroom?
Yeah, absolutely. Something that we say in St. Thomas Aquinas, and I'm sure it's very true other places, is that to be clear is to be kind. And with our TLAC techniques and rolling out what our expectations are for students, rolling out a routine that we want for them throughout how they engage with the lesson, how they engage with the materials, the TLAC techniques really helped, especially as a first year teacher and a first 5 year teacher, really helped me build a routine and an expectation for my classroom, especially as we came off of COVID and we had students coming back into the classroom for the first time in a year and a half, having students like in the lower grades be in school for the very first time. And so having these techniques, having the shared language across the school really helped build routines and expectations. So then we can get to the fun thing. So then we can build a loving environment that is full of rigor.
That is, yeah, that's wonderful to hear. And also one of the things we think about with our classrooms being loving, supportive, rigorous, but also differentiated. Does TLAC help you differentiate? Are there ways that you're able to differentiate to meet the needs of diverse learners?
Speaking from my curriculum that I have, which is again, the TLAC Reading Reconsidered curriculum, The questions that they provide us can be naturally differentiated. They can provide challenges for students who are at or above grade level, while also allowing me opportunities to work with students who need a little bit more help to get them to grade level. Another cliche that we hear quite a bit is, as quick as you can, as slow as you must. Mm-hmm. And so with our TLAC curriculum, we move through novels pretty quickly. Right now, my sixth graders are finishing up their fifth novel of the year within the next 2 weeks. But within those novels, I'm able to take a step back, slow down, and really work with students that need a little bit more help to get them to the sixth grade level and prepared for high school and beyond.
Wonderful. We've got to have those, as we like to say, high expectations, and then the individual supports where necessary. Not every kid needs the supports, but where necessary to help the kids meet those clear high expectations. And speaking of the high expectations, you coming in as a teacher who is new to the school when this is all starting, you had to have a learning curve here. Who supported you in learning and in delivering on this instructional practice? And how has that kind of support helped you and influenced your ability to work with other teachers in the school or beyond?
So starting off, and even to this day, I have a wonderful support system within my admin team. So our principal, Rachel Dangler, she and I speak weekly about my students, how I can best serve them, and using the curriculum to do so. And when we first started off as a new teacher, I naturally had a lot of questions and I naturally needed some help. And Rachel was always there to bounce ideas off of me. She would come in and watch my class for an extended amount of time and would offer me feedback within that day so then I can continue to grow and to be the best teacher that I can possibly be. And then I also received quite a bit of feedback and help with our partnership academic team as well. Maggie Johnson and I would meet weekly during my second year teaching to help build up skills that, again, I still use to this day.
Yeah, that's great. In fact, I understand part of the study and collection of best practices that happens from TLAC is video study of a lot of your lessons and other teachers' lessons. And as I understand it, one of your videos caught the attention of the founder, Doug Lamov, who he did a little feature and a follow up with you. Can you tell us what that was like and what was that video? What was that experience like? How's that influenced your teaching?
My second year teaching was offered the opportunity to film or teach like a champion for their video bank. And it was such a nerve-wracking experience. And just a sidebar, during my filming session, the fire alarm actually went off in the middle of it. So that just added extra little brevity, as you will.
Extra example of the orderly procedures of your students, right? Is they all caught on film orderly? Yeah.
Yes. And so that whole experience, that was very surreal for me because I was like, I'm a second year teacher. I don't know what I'm doing here. And then Maggie Johnson reached out to me saying that Doug Lamov wanted to have a meeting with me. And essentially, it was me, Maggie, and Doug, and we went over my video. He pointed out some bright spots that he had from my videos and also some things that I can work on, some glows and grows. And that was such a surreal experience for someone who was so new to teaching that, like, this is someone who has studied all these incredible teachers and he wanted to talk to me. And so that was such an incredible, incredible opportunity I had.
Yeah, that is great. Well, just for some context for our audience, is it a segment of the class period?
So when they film for TLAC purposes, they film an entire lesson. So I was filmed for about an hour and a half, and then they cut down the video. Someone sits and watches it all, and then they cut certain pieces of it to showcase a certain technique. Or in some cases, we do talk about classroom management in some of our videos. So if there's an instance of classroom management that did really well, they will cut that and put it into a PowerPoint or show it at a professional development.
And what was the particular technique in this video that you're referring to? Do you remember?
The one from my second year teaching, I remember it as a cold call, warm call of using vocabulary within my lesson and introducing those words.
And then this, to help our audience understand, you referenced these videos are used in professional development. So some of the ways that you learn these techniques are by watching other instructors, right? Other peers out there. And now some people across the network are watching you learning these, watching your exemplary use of that technique and learning from it. And how does that make you feel as an educator?
It makes me feel very proud that I am someone that they want to showcase. Personally, it makes my stomach hurt to hear my voice, but it's really cool. It's genuinely a really incredible opportunity that someone has seen me teach and thinks that I'm good enough, at least in one aspect, to show it off as an example.
Yes. Yeah, that's, I think it's impressive that it's people who are serious educators who are going to learn about this specific thing. What I love about, I got to admit, I haven't been keeping up with it as closely. I think I remember the first book, back when I was a principal, there were 60-some techniques. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
I don't know we're up to triple digits by now, or how many Teach Like a Champion techniques are in the repertoire?
I'm not sure their exact number right now, but I know that we are on, Teach Like a Champion 3.0.
Yeah.
We're on the third iteration.
Third edition of the book. Yeah.
And I know that there's another one coming out. I don't know when it's coming out, but it's on the science of reading.
Of course, yeah. So this idea that people are not just generally interested in teaching, but they're specifically interested in these areas that they can get better in teaching. It's such a professional approach to it. How have the use of the TLAC strategies helped you build stronger or more meaningful relationships with your students?
My students know that I care about their learning, that their education is one of my top priorities, especially in my classroom, that when you come into my room, we are here to learn. And that starts at the door. Something that a couple strategies that we use are like what to do directions. When you walk into my classroom, we are doing work right away because every minute in my room matters, because it's going to get you to take that honors course in high school or the AP course, or that's going to help you in high school, that's going to help you in college. So my students know that I care about their education and in turn care about them. It's one of my biggest, they know that when they're in here, we don't waste time. We have a lot to do and we're going to get there.
Yeah. That's sort of warm, demanding, like showing you care by helping everyone learn. It's beautiful. Do parents who's kids are in your classroom, are they aware of anything different in your classroom? Does anything about the Teach Like a Champion approach make it to the parent level?
I think that when it comes to communication with parents, the TLAC curriculum really almost segments things very easily for us, where we can speak with parents about what their child is doing well or what their weaknesses are or what their pros can be. Are they struggling with comprehension questions? Are they struggling with writing or independent work? Vocab, it helps give a language to what we are seeing every day in your classroom and how we can communicate that to parents. Because it's not just that, they're doing fine. They are doing a really great job of writing a paragraph. We are now working on how to embed quotes in their paragraph and giving something more specific than just, they're doing okay. It really helps us. I want to figure out how I want to say this. It lets us communicate to parents how their development is progressing to get to high school and to help them in high school and beyond.
Thank you. Yeah, I hear in that answer the feedback that is so necessary for students to be able to grow. They need to know what their strengths and weaknesses are, or parents need to hear that in order for them to continue to grow. Just to distinguish, you're talking about some of the things that are available in the curriculum, because you mentioned Reading Reconsidered. That is a Teach Like a Champion product, right? So there's the I was just referencing the 60 some or more instructional techniques, which is something that probably any teacher with any curriculum could engage with, right? You can use Turn and Talk or Silent Solos, or any of those could be used by any teacher in any classroom at any time. And then the curriculum that TLAC provides is Reading Reconsidered in the language arts classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. That'll just be helpful context for our audience that is new to all of this. But the question I want to ask next is, can you think of a time, a specific moment when you realized that what you were learning with TLAC was transforming your teaching? What was that experience like?
So last year I graduated, my graduating eighth graders, they read Animal Farm. And this class was my first class that I taught sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, all 3 years. And my first couple years of teaching, I struggled with them. They struggled with me. And last year, using Silent Solos, using Turn and Talks and Control the Game and these techniques, I saw such a change within that one class in particular, where in my first couple years of teaching, my second year of teaching, we struggled to set routines and set expectations. And here they are now in eighth grade after being with this curriculum, being with these techniques, being with me for so long. Animal Farm's a difficult book. It's full of allegories and having to not only understand what's happening in the book, but taking that and applying it to what actually happened during the Russian Revolution. And hearing them speak with such confidence and poise because they were able to understand both parts of the book as well as the nuances within the actual plot of the story. That was a moment where I kind of had to like sit back and be like, this happened. I watched this class transform with the help of this TLAC framework.
Thank you.
Really cool.
Oh, thank you. If you're looking back, I'm thinking to our audience who might be interested in this or might be inspired to look further into it.
Yeah.
So if you're looking back, what advice would you give yourself when you first started using TLAC? What strategies or mindset shift have been transformative since then?
I would say, looking back, I would tell myself that it's okay to be adaptable, that one technique will work for one class, but may not work for the following class, and that's okay. Ultimately, you know your students best. You're with them for however many hours a day. You know if this class can really rock a Turn and Talk, but this one just needs some more independent work. The beautiful thing about the TLAC framework is that you can find the different strategies that will work for your class. It's definitely not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's definitely a framework that you can use, A, to your advantage, but B, to help your students.
That's actually something I want to ask further about.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes hear perception, for example, a set curriculum like Reading Reconsidered, there'd be some English language arts teachers out there who say, that's too prescribed for me. I need to have the freedom to choose whatever books I want or make up my own materials. What do you think about that? Or what is your response to that sort of approach compared to what Reading Reconsidered gives you as a teacher?
I think that Reading Reconsidered helps drive a conversation. I would never say that Reading Reconsidered, it's scripted. They offer suggestions of a Turn and Talk could be a good idea here, a Silent Solo here, but ultimately to teach the curriculum to fidelity, you know your students best. And so it allows a framework for you to follow. So you can use a Turn and Talk there if it works for you, if it works for your students. But ultimately, it's just that, it's a framework. And it helps drive the conversation of my objectives are up on my board right now. So I know that in Harun and the Sea of Stories, we are going to be talking about allegories. So the questions drive towards that point. while also helping understand plot and what an allegory is and then how we can apply it. So yeah, essentially it's a framework. It leads you to where you gotta go.
I was an English language arts teacher in high school, one in a different era, maybe, where we were expected to come up with the materials ourselves and create. We were given resources, we were given the textbook set or some suggestions, but I'd say the intellectual preparation then was all on the creating of the core of the curriculum, the questions, the things, me doing a lot of the thinking about how to get kids engaged, what they should be engaging in, and then how to get them to engage. And from, I've never taught this curriculum, but from my distance, I'm impressed with how much there's just as much, if not more, intellectual preparation that you're doing and teachers who are teaching this way at St. Thomas and the other partnership schools. But you're focusing on the most high leverage things that students need. The stuff that I was doing late into the night before classes, my first year teaching, is done for you. Like it's all there. And you're focusing on which of these high leverage strategies should I using, which the kid with the kids who are in front of me tomorrow. Or hopefully you're not doing it at the last minute like I was. But it really strikes me as just very professional, which is something that not all of our teachers, myself included, I think, could appreciate because they're used to the old way of doing things, the usual way of doing things.
Yeah, like the lower level thinking of just like where to stop in a book. How much time should this thing take? That work is pretty much done because it does tell you like, okay, your due now should take about this amount of time. And it makes it, as a teacher and during my student teaching, I did have to make all my lessons for sophomores and seniors. There's still a lot of prep work to it, understanding like, okay, how will I drive my lesson to this one question? Or how will I drive them to the outcome that I need for the exit ticket? There's still that intellectual think work. I just don't show up to class with my lesson plan from TLAC. I have to sit there and again, it's a framework. Take what I learned from TLAC and apply it to my lessons and to my students and how we best get to our objective.
Thank you. So how do you continue to grow and refine your skills as a teacher using these principles, the TLAC principles that you learned? Are there particular resources you use or groups of peers, videos or practices that you rely on?
So with this being my fifth year at St. Thomas, there are many books, especially in the seventh grade curriculum, that I've taught for 5 years. And every single year and almost every month or so when we do a TLAC professional development, I'm able to take something, a new strategy or a new outlook on an old strategy and apply it to an old lesson. So I take time and I prep my lessons every day and I'm able to continue to grow and add on to them. If you read my lessons, you know that like this color was her first year and then the green is second year. And you can kind of see the lesson plans is almost like a living document, that it's something that is always changing because as a teacher, we're always changing. Our students are always changing, but also the world is too. And so understanding that these strategies and this framework that TLAC provides allows us to continue to grow, that even though we've talked about Turn and Talks my first year teaching, doesn't mean that we are done revisiting it in my fifth year teaching. And just having that mindset of we are always learning and we are always changing. And because of that, we need to change what we do.
Thank you. And I should clarify too. I feel like I've been using this term too loosely, TLAC, the acronym, because TLAC, Teach Like a Champion, refers to certainly the techniques that the teachers are trained on and they use in the classroom with students, but also the professional development in the forms of videos, workshops, coaching, teacher coaching, one-on-one and group professional development. In fact, we had Doug Lamov and some of his team members here at the start of this school year. We're excited to have him back for the start of next school year. And then also the curriculum component that you've talked about a bit. So it's the techniques, it's the professional development and the curriculum. When we think about all those things, what ways does this Teach Like a Champion support the mission of Catholic education, particularly in certainly academic excellence, but also in preparing students for life beyond the classroom?
I like to say that one of my favorite things about teaching is the formation of citizens and the formation of informed citizenship and using the TLAC training support to help build these upcoming citizens. There's a heavy focus on our expectations, that we set high and rigorous expectations for our students, and they will reach our expectations. Do not believe in lowering the bar, because our students are made for greatness. And because they are made for greatness, we know that they can read high-level text in middle school. We know that they can have conversations of a deep analytical, that have deep analytical value in the sixth, seventh, eighth grade, that just prepare them for, again, not just high school, but high school and beyond.
You mentioned root beliefs, which I know is a part of the school culture approach at all the partnership schools. How does the use of these practices align with what you believe as a Catholic school educator, or the root beliefs that anchor your school's practice in culture and values?
So something that we believe at St. Thomas Aquinas is that we can do hard things. Learning is hard. Reading The Outsiders at 9:05 in the morning can be hard. Writing a paragraph with evidence, with textual evidence and supporting details and explanations, that can be hard. But our TLAC framework and our TLAC curriculum help us drive that you are capable of doing these hard things. You are made for greatness, and that you have the ability to do anything that you set your mind to. And that is something that in my classroom, I really make sure that my students understand, because what we do every day is hard work. But that hard work is just going to pay off. It's going to pay off in eighth grade when they are applying to high schools. It's going to pay off in high school when they can take college level courses, and then they can skip out on some general education classes when they get to college. Everything that we do now is hard, but with that being said, it's hard for a purpose, and that purpose is for greatness.
Thank you. That's beautifully said. What would you recommend for a school or principal who's listening to this and they're eager to learn more about these strategies, how they might want to use this to strengthen their classroom, even an individual teacher? How does somebody enter into this? What advice do you have for them?
I think starting at the source, the TLAC books. Rachel has a couple copies of them that I've definitely borrowed and have gone through, and kind of giving your all to those strategies, picking one or two that resonate with you and saying, okay, I want to see this done. This is a really terrible analogy, but it's the one that's coming to my brain. When a athlete wants to get better, they watch film of themselves. And so I have been known in my classroom to set up my phone in the back and teach. And this is so cringy, but like an athlete, I'll watch it back and see like, okay, what did I do here? Did this work? And being reflective, not just like with your school community, but also being reflective with yourself. Like, is this a strategy that is natural to you? Is this something that you see value in for your students? And being able to see what these strategies can do for you, your classroom, but also sticking with it. In the past, however many years, I think education has been fixated on a quick fix. Mm. And you're not going to say silent solo to a room full of 20, 12-year-olds, and they're going to know what that is and how to do it. Being able to stick with a strategy for an extended amount of time can only benefit a student or benefit a classroom, and see if that's something that can actually work. And if it doesn't, that's okay.
Yeah, I think that's, first of all, we're here to normalize. I wouldn't call it cringy. I would say it's exemplary, right? And also when you say that athletes will do that, really just the most serious, most competitive, most professional athletes are doing that typically, right? The ones who really want to improve their practice, driven to improve their practice. And it's wonderful that that's how you feel about teaching. That's how teachers who are willing to have themselves be recorded, receive coaching from Teach Like a Champion or the people who support this kind of approach. That is exactly the sort of professional development that is best. It sure beats going to a big group meeting for professional development where we talk general enough that all 100 people can be reached. That means that we're not talking specifically at all about your kids, your needs, your learning. So that is just awesome. So I think it's just amazing what you're doing. And that's what I hope is inspiring other people to keep wanting to do this. And if they've not heard about it, to find out more. So thank you for taking the time to explain that to me and to our audience here in our innovation series. And thanks for all that you're doing to help our young people learn and grow at St. Thomas Aquinas School and beyond, where people are being influenced by your teaching.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Anne. God bless.
Thank you.